I am Plata on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. We'll talk about the Talk Spot campaign now. May is Speech and Hearing Month, and joining me now is Becca Yu. She is Director of Public Education with Speech and Hearing BC. Too many young people are spending too much time in front of screens. Children especially are being babysat by devices, and the detriment to that is... And the detriment is a lack of understanding and learning difficulties, not to mention isolation. TalkSpot encourages face-to-face communication. I'll get Ms. Yu to tell us some advice as to how to do more. We'll talk about all the apps that are sold to us as educational that might not, as well as how to initiate conversations with the young people and how it can be made a part of the daily routine. Becca Yu is a registered speech and language pathologist. Visit speechandhearingbc.ca for more information. Incidentally, the City of Vancouver has named May 21st as Talk Spot Day. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Becca Yu. Ms. Yu, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good yourself.
Good.
So I put down my phone so that I could talk to you, but I'm surprised that a lot of people don't. I talk to people all the time in person and over the phone, and I can, you know, see or hear that they're still looking at their phone even though we're having a conversation.
Yes, that does happen quite often.
Yeah, and I guess the worst part is when you see kids consumed by it all.
Yes, you know, as a speech-language pathologist and a mother of two, constantly seeing people on screens, especially children, is definitely something of concern for me.
Yeah, so in a way it doesn't make sense to get rid of it because, I mean, it'd be futile because we all have them and everyone else uses them. But rationing screen time, I mean, I guess that's the key. I mean, that's a good start. How do you do that?
Well, I can tell you a little bit about how I do it. And so I
sure.
have a one-year-old son and a four-year-old son, so it's more with the four-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I usually try to set my expectations and let him know ahead of time what they are. So if we're going out for dinner and he's allowed to have it to show pictures to grandparents beforehand, mm-hmm. I would say when food comes, it's time to put the phone away.
Right.
So he knows when he sees food coming that there's a clear expectation that the phone is going to go away. And with some practice, definitely the, you know, grumpiness or tantruming has definitely decreased significantly.
Yeah. So you mentioned you have a one-year-old. For a lot of people, I mean, that's too early for them to even be using these devices. I mean, what have you found in your experience in terms of other parents, say, and when they introduce these devices to begin with?
Honestly, I think I've seen children as young as 8, 9 months old scrolling
wow.
through a device. Really, the current smartphone technology is made to be used by anyone, so... kids, when they can see their parents scrolling on a touchscreen phone, they very early on can pick up on it.
Hmm. Yeah. So you, in your work, you see the detriments, obviously, of excessive screen time. In terms of how language is used, I mean, do you see, say, significant development delays?
It's more anecdotal, but I have seen from colleagues and in my own practice that... you know, we are noticing more children with developmental delays or deficits in their social language development if there is excessive use of devices and screen time.
Now, a lot of these apps are sold to parents as educational.
Mm-hmm.
What have you found in terms of just whether they're of benefit at all?
I think that it's about time and place. I do use some of the apps myself when I am doing speech therapy. What I find is, you know, in speech therapy, I'm still a part of the interaction with the educational app.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would encourage families to do is to, even though the app may have educational material, to be a part of the experience and add to the experience because children do tend to learn better in a social interaction than they do from a 2D screen.
Mm. What's happening in our schools? I mean, have you seen or have you been told by teachers, say, about how young people are adversely affected by all of this?
I have heard some stories, and teachers do mention that attention seem to be decreasing. They have more difficulty engaging some of their students because they are used to the kind of quick screen turnaround time and the time between the frames in a video.
Mm-hmm.
So then it makes real life just seem a little bit too slow and boring at times.
Yeah. Talking to parents about this, I mean, talking to kids is one thing, but I mean, talking to parents who, I guess, have relied on these devices, on screens to say, babysit or amuse their children, those can't be easy conversations to have.
No, it isn't. And, you know, I understand there are definitely times where you just need a break as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about being aware of what the possible detriments may be. You know, not every child that is on the screen frequently will show some of these difficulties, but we have to be aware that it's a possibility, and how we can make sure that we help those situations so that it doesn't happen as often, or they're aware of what the developmental milestones are. So if something is to happen, they know who to go to and when.
Now, May is Speech and Hearing Month.
Mm-hmm.
Your organization has this campaign called TalkSpot. How did this come about? And I guess it really does, its necessity speaks to just how it's such a problem in our culture and our society, doesn't it?
It really does. So TalkSpot was actually an idea from one of our speech-language pathologist members. They were working in one of the public health units, and they ran a small campaign similar to the one that we're running right now, and she really wanted to bring it more to the general public. So she came to me with that idea, and we ran with it. So it's definitely a campaign that a lot of our members have shown concern over what they're seeing with excessive screen use.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided that it would be a good time to have an awareness campaign around it.
Yeah, and May 21st, the City of Vancouver has designated that TalkSpot Day. Does it surprise you that when you talk to people about this, that a lot of people say are unaware of just what a problem this is?
I think so, and I think it's how our society has developed. You know, being a millennial myself, I grew up with technology, and technology was such an exciting thing when we were young. So now that it's been around for a couple of years and more research is being done about the effects of technology, it's definitely something that we want families and parents to be more aware about, especially in those early language development years where exposure to language is just so critical.
As I was preparing for our chat today, Becca, I was thinking about what it was like for me growing up. I'm 36. Television was the thing that people were worried about, that too many of us were watching too much television, spending too much time in front of the tube. But, you know, in those days, televisions were in a certain place in the house, and they were attached to the wall. You couldn't take them away. You learn just how insidious screens are now, because you can just, you know, take the device with you anywhere. How has it changed from my generation to where we are today? A lot of those issues that people are concerned about with TV, I mean, they managed to control it, didn't they? About how much TV one watched.
In some ways, yes, and we're of similar age, so I do remember growing up with the TV quite often, but you're right, it was in one location, and you really had to be there. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you wanted to do something else, or even to get a snack, you had to leave for a little while. Now, and again, you know, you're right on this, it's everywhere, and it could be attached to your hand at all times, and that's why we wanted to do this awareness campaign to show families, you know, one, what is the recommendation from the Canadian Pediatric Society, which is for children under the age of 5, under 1 hour per day. And then for older children, up to about 3 hours per day, but even to limit that, and it includes homework time.
Mm-hmm. And you saw some parents that I've encountered is to say have rules Monday to Friday, and then on the weekend it's totally something different. I mean, do you suggest that?
Well, it depends really on the child. I do suggest still limiting it on the weekend if possible. You know, for children of the current generation, getting outside more is really important and something that needs to be stressed. So on a weekend when there's more free time, still time and encouragement to go outside or to use their imagination versus being in front of a screen is very much encouraged.
What's been your experience, Becca, with kids that you encounter in terms of reading? I mean, it's easy to read off a screen, because I interview authors all the time, I'm wondering, are young people, are they reading, say, regular books, say?
It really, I find, depends on the family and the parents. I find it really hard to read on a screen, so I still prefer a real book with kids, but it's partially about personal preference, but it's about the engagement, too. So if you're letting the screen read the book, like there's certain apps that it will just read for you, then there's less engagement and less face-to-face interaction during that time, whereas if you stop and pause and ask questions and ask them to think about the story, then there's more engagement involved and more opportunity to be developing further in their language abilities.
The other thing that your campaign is doing is encouraging a lot of us to communicate better and engage more. And I find that, you know, the children are just really small people. And if you sit down and have a conversation with them, something good comes about from it. And you know, they are savvy and often a lot smarter than we think they are. What do you suggest to parents, to adults, in terms of how to engage and make time for that conversation in their homes?
That's a really great question. I find that, you know, as a parent, finding the things that are already engaging to them or putting it around their interests. So my older son, big superhero fan. So we will use superheroes and action figures to make it more engaging. Setting aside some of that time to talk about your day or even have slower time, you know, sitting down together to have a meal is sometimes helpful to be able to have time to be face-to-face and to increase that communication.
And I guess you are hopeful that parents will get hip to this and do the things that they need to do, right?
I hope so. I think it can be really hard as a parent of two very rambunctious boys. There are times I definitely feel that, you know, the screen is helpful and you do really just need a break. But being very aware of the possible side effects of having excessive screen time and use can do for their development, not just in speech and language, but their overall health and well-being.
Yeah, but I see a lot of kids nowadays with glasses that I didn't see, say, when I was growing up. And I guess we can blame the screens for that, right?
Well, I'm not an optometrist, so I'm not the best person to speak about that. But it could be a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I find that when I'm looking at the screen too much, you know, it just hurts one's eyes. And I'm assuming that when a kid is developing their own vision, their own sight, can't be terribly helpful, right?
No, it probably not to focus on one thing for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
Similar recommendations made for us to, you know, be only on a computer for half an hour to an hour and to then get up and stretch and take a break is very helpful.
Yeah. Hearing, is that something that you're seeing concerning children? I mean, their hearing comprehension, say? I mean, using a computer screen or a device, I mean, that can't be helpful, I'm assuming.
Especially children that may use headphones to kind of block out some of the other sounds.
Right.
Many headphones don't have kind of stop or switch where it stops it from being at an interval that could be damaging to the ears.
Mm-hmm.
So if children have access to those and they're cranking up the sound, that it could be very damaging to their hearing as well.
Yeah. You're doing good work and important work at that. I appreciate your time today, Becca.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Visit speechandhearingbc.ca for more. Becca, you join me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plante.